money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Great. Welcome to the show. If you are listening in on YouTube, if you're watching us on YouTube or listening in on a podcast, welcome to the show. If you're a first-time listener, extra special welcome for you this morning. And if you're a long-time listener, then thank
like
you for joining
us. Like our friends, Rachel and Renee, yes, who we just met, who are gathered in their kitchen this morning, tuning in. So
if you're in the kitchen, you know, and I know sometimes you're like multitasking, but you know what? Grab a coffee, sit down, relax, kind of come and join us for our next half hour. I love that feeling of joining in the conversation when, you know, I know that someone out there is sitting at the kitchen and we're maybe entering into the conversation with them. So, cool.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so thank you to notmind.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada, a place where you can go be encouraged on your journey and gain some financial resources. So you can go there. Again, our friend Ray Borg is a part of that ministry, and we are just so grateful that we are partnering with different folks in the community to encourage all of you and us at the same time to walk with God in our finances.
Yeah.
So today we are going to tackle a really fun topic that I got excited about this week. Dave and I got a little
fun and controversial.
Well, yeah, Dave and I were in disagreement about it over definitions. So if you're curious, take a listen.
Can you imagine, for those of you who, you know, Rebecca and I having a maybe a word thing going on. She's the word person.
Yeah, and Dave was, I'm like, you're just not defining it properly. So anyway, we'll see. We're going to talk about Ecclesiastes 3. And of course, if you've walked with God or been in the church and know your Bible, Ecclesiastes 3, well, there's Solomon's writing. There's a time for everything, a time season for every activity under the heavens. That I just love that God has seasons and seasons for us spiritually. We have seasons in the earth, and we're going to be coming to the end of the summer season. Hopefully another nice month of beautiful weather in September, which is what we hope. And into the beautiful, at least in the Ottawa area, that season of change when the colors come alive. You know, so in Ecclesiastes 3, you know, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal. And it goes on. And then in verse 9, it says, you guys can go read these verses for yourself. But verse 9, it says, what do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. There's so much in these verses. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. And whatever it has already been and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. But I was really, I was just thinking about all of these verses, but I do love that God says to us, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. And today, we're going to talk about what I've been learning about this week. You guys know I'm no financial scholar. I'm no economist. David isn't either. But we have been around money for a few years, and the conversations around money, continuing to learn. And there is a new buzzword that's come up because, statistically speaking, Canadians a good chunk of Canadians.
I think you said about 60%.
Yeah, it was over that. Yeah. Believe that we're in a recession. And I'll tell you.
Okay, show of hands. How many people believe that there is a recession going on?
Yeah, you can answer that right. I guess it came to my mind because my girlfriend, we were just having a casual conversation, and she casually mentioned the recession we're in. And I'm like, are we in a recession? That was my question. And I want to tie in the verses before we get too far, because those verses to me talk about no matter what season, financial season you find yourself in, God's saying to us, you know, work hard, be happy and enjoy what you have. And even in the midst of this stressful time that people are feeling, because actually what's happening is that there are recession-like symptoms. There's all this feeling of hardship financially because of what's happening to us personally. And yet here we hear this word from God. There's a season for everything. There's cycles. There's downturns in the economy. Brett Vandermeer was here this year talking to us about inflation and interest rates and the importance of what we've seen happening this year in our economy, even though it feels hard. And I want to have this overshadowing Ecclesiastes verse over our discussion, because God still tells us, work hard, be happy, enjoy what you have. And there's some changes that maybe we're experiencing and that we have to make financially. Mm-hmm. But overall, God is still with us and he's encouraging us. Don't lose hope. There's a season, and and we talked with Amanda in August too about resilience. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into resources around us. Let's dig in to ourselves to see how resilient we can be as we walk this path. So that's what was on my mind, because the buzzword, mm-hmm. David, and you are like, what is this? So I read this article from an Alberta media outlet, and Charles St. Arnaud, who's the chief economist at the Alberta Central, a group representing credit unions in the province, used a word that's not recession or recession, but me-session. And I was like, what is a me-session? And basically it reflects that personally we are feeling like we're in recessions. Mm-hmm. But actually, under the proper definition of recession, Canada has not experienced that in the last year. And we'll explain that in a minute.
Right. This was a point of contention.
This was the point, because Dave says, oh, we've been in recession for years. I'm like, whoa.
Misquote.
No, you did say.
I said we've been in and out of recession.
Okay, I didn't hear the out part. Heard you say, that's what got my goat. Mm. Was like, what do you mean we've been in a recession for years? Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. The other way you can say me-session is per capita session. This per capita recession, that, because I went and did some more research, and that's the other language that's coming out, per capita. That means that our economy, because a recession, let me define it, is understood to be economic downturn or I see it shrinking, right? When you're there's negative growth contraction. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you for your patience. That economic retraction, there's negative growth. It's going down, not up. And it has to happen consecutive in two quarters. Mm-hmm. So at the end of 2023, there was, it was decreasing, but then it held steady actually. And then in the first quarter of this year, there's this minimal growth, like 0.6% in the gross domestic product. So the GDP, you would hear. So you're like, okay, what does this mean? Like, and Dave and I had this discussion. Dave said, well, if you define recession that way, I guess, then we haven't been in one, because technically we've been close, but economists wouldn't say that, because the GDP is still increasing. There's some growth, and there's a reason for that as well, which we'll get into. So I don't know if you want to make a comment here.
No, I think part of it, and as we talk about this, again, I want to remind us all that God is in control of all these, that this is not a new you know, we come up with new words and we come up with new definitions. We come up with maybe changed definitions.
I don't think it's a new definition for recession, though.
Okay. I'm just saying that God has actually been here before. And so in a lot of ways, as we have this discussion, and again, starting with Ecclesiastes and the encouragement there to say, you know what, God's got this. But this is the environment we are in. This is here in North America, and I expand to North America. The economy is very fragile. It bounces on one side or the other side, depending on the year or the time of year around recession. Very fragile, in terms of the economy.
Well, this same gentleman, Charles St. Arnaud, said we didn't have the famous two quarters of contraction that would normally characterize a recession, but it wasn't good either. Mm-hmm. Like it on paper, it looks one way. It feels a whole lot different for us personally, which is why there's this language forming mm-hmm. for this per capita recession mm-hmm. or this me session right. where we're feeling it individually. The other question then, like we're going to get to some hopeful things in a minute, but the reason why this is what I found absolutely enthralling. And I will tell you guys, I did not do well in economics in university. Little did I know I would care many decades later, but I do. So it's quite interesting. But the reason is in the last 12 months, from some of the stats I heard, Canada's population has increased by 1.3 million people. That means immigrants have come into our country and there is an increase because of that in spending. So in the market, there's like, people are coming into the country. They need to buy food. They need to buy a piece of furniture. Whatever it is, it's because of the population increase that on paper, our GDP hasn't taken a dive. And yet, there is tightening of belts for individuals. So while you and I aren't spending maybe the way we did, like just for example, 2 years ago, maybe there's more people living on Crowder Road, and overall, Crowder Road is buying way more stuff. Our overall purchasing has increased, but even because there's more people living on our road, that's a simple way to look at it. So I found that really, don't you guys find that interesting? I find that really interesting, but it doesn't deal with how you are feeling. Like how are you, you're listening to the show and how are you feeling in the midst of this economic cycle at the end of summer 2024?
Yeah. And again, this is where that I do love. We are agreed on this idea of the me session because we are all feeling, it doesn't matter in a sense what your income demographic is. We are all feeling that things are more expensive. We're all feeling a tightening, even if, and it's especially obvious and it has more of an impact on lower income or mid income families where we didn't have a whole lot of margin. We didn't have, we couldn't not go on the vacation because we weren't going on the vacation the first time. We couldn't not save for that next car because we weren't saving for that next car mm-hmm. already. And so in these last number of years, when we've seen the increase in some of these fixed costs like insurances, like gas, like groceries, like these things have definitely increased and they've had a larger impact on the lower income because there's mm-hmm. less margin, right? And so, looking at that and saying, yeah, this is why we're feeling this recession.
And some of the economists that I've read and some of the comments that I've read recently have been like, we're maybe failing, like having that metrics of the GDP mm. is failing to measure the stories underneath the surface.
100%.
Which is what we might all be experiencing in different ways at different levels. So this, the one video story I read, like had Canadians quoted, like, yeah, like, we can't.
It feels like a recession.
Yeah, but the one lady was like, this isn't cost of living. This is like cost of surviving. Like yes. that she was just yes. like, it feels like survival mode for some of us. But it also is context. So what do we want to encourage you with today? Because David said, well, you know, we're having this discussion over the, you know, definition. And should the definition include more than just the GDP for defining recession word? You know, that we'll leave that up to people who are way smarter and in the business more, that part of the business more than we are. But what is it we want to encourage ourselves? Do we want to build some resilience within ourselves to say, you know what, changes maybe need to happen and you can do it. You can make the change.
100%. And say that again.
You can make the change.
Right? And change is actually, in a sense, the order of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, in all of this data and all of these opinions and all of this news and media, again, we get this stuff feeding into us quite innocuously, but the reality is this is coming in. We read the newspapers, we watch the news, we wherever we get that, even in our conversations with our friends and neighbors, and saying, wait a minute, if there, and again, we can look back in history and go, well, there have been recessions before, there have been depressions before, there have been, how did humanity, you know, how did we as humans make it through that? Well, we had to change. And so in just bringing it right back to our own personal finances, you know, looking at that, being aware of that and saying, what are the changes that I need to make? And they're difficult. Again, we 100% acknowledge that, you know, the things we did last year, if, you know, we're still kind of progressing in our financial journeys to this year and things are more expensive this year than they were last year, that means that there are some things that we're not going to do that we did last year. There are, again, as we talk about the rhythm of we're just, you know, at the end of summer and maybe you realize that, you know, we normally go and take 2 weeks and we're only going to take 1 week during the summer. Maybe during the summer, normally I take some time off, but guess what? I'm not taking time off, or I'm actually picking up an extra little gig. Something has to change. And going back to Ecclesiastes, it is only for a season. You know, again, we will make it through, whether it's a me session, a recession.
And I think it's important to share with people. So we talk a lot of times about facing your finances. There's lots of practical things you can do to make the change. Plan what you spend and spend what you plan. Like, we talk about all these, this language. The next couple of weeks, we have our daughter, Hope. She's done some investigating on apps and tools. So that will be a help to you. How do you make the change? Well, maybe it's time to get a tool and you can listen to those shows as well. You know, one of the things that's coming to my mind as we're talking is being in community. I know it's, you know, COVID isolated us so much, but sharing what we have, you know, having maybe instead of grasping to close, because this kind of environment, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see me. We close our fists. Mm-hmm. We just, our fear says withdraw, move back, protect yourself. But really what we need to be doing is opening our hands to one another in a trusting, faithful, you know, friends, maybe some neighbors that you've started to get to know, and you can share what you have, sharing meals, sharing tools, sharing, you know, if you're a broken lawnmower, maybe you just need to borrow your neighbors. You know, if we could do that, then it might help us get through some of those expenses that we have spent in the past, but can't do now.
Yeah. And I think that's, again, part of the change or the solution, you know, and again, I always hesitate to say solution, but some of the changes that we need to make, again, I think back over history and during difficult economic times, community became much, much more important because you had to, because, you know, in a sense, it was like, okay, come live with us. We'll share the expense of living. The house is crowded and yeah, there's more people, you know, whatever that change was. And people did things, in the past, which we now find foreign, right? So again, some of that is, you know, as we've lived and we've gotten used to a certain standard or a certain rhythm in terms of what it looks like, we aren't doing some of the things, and we actually sometimes have to go back to and say, you know what? Yeah, we are going to, and I'm just thinking of the example of generational living. You know, as a culture, we've moved away from generational living, where we're all in our own individual mm-hmm. houses, and then we kick the kids out as quickly as we can, you know, and mm-hmm. they get their individual house. Mm-hmm. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that sometimes in that, you know, as we come into a me session or a recession or even a depression, you're going, oh, that's going to have to change. You know what? So the kids are going to come back home and they're going to live with us and we're going to figure out what multifamily looks like. And that's, of course, becoming more popular as an example because of the need, the change needs to happen.
And that kind of change isn't easy. Living with family is not easy. We get it. We know it. We experience it. So we identify that. But sometimes, you know, Jesus didn't promise easy. Community wasn't promised to be easy, but is it good? Yes. And
back to your quote from the article where, you know, Lisa, it's about survival now.
Right.
And so that then puts things into a different perspective to say, you know, we don't really have a choice. We need to do something.
I interrupted you, but you know, even that word survival connotates, this is so hard, you know. Well, you know, surviving is good. Living is good. I think that cost of living word is a bit more positive than the survival, even though that's maybe how we're feeling. But we still are called to live. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of the verse that I read, you know, mm-hmm. it's good to be happy, to toil and to work hard and to enjoy what you have. And what the struggle is for me sometimes, or the challenge is, that's a better word. The challenge is not focusing, oh, well, I used to be able to do that and now I can't. Oh man, but look mm-hmm. what am I doing? What can I do? What is something beautiful that I'm enjoying today because I'm alive? And you guys might think, that's so simplistic, but you know, gratitude is never a simplistic cliche thing. Gratitude does something for our hearts. And he's saying, in all these seasons, you work hard, but be happy and appreciate what the life you have. Enjoy it. Enjoy that cup of tea with your neighbor. Okay, maybe it's not a steak dinner like it was last year, but it's still good.
Well, and again, Ecclesiastes talks a little bit about, in a sense, or the writer, you know, throughout Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, just saying, you know, oh, by the way, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we invest our time, energy, and money in that is just not profitable. It's going to burn, or it's going to go
right.
away, or mm-hmm. and it's not fulfilling, I'll say. And so again, sometimes it is just a stepping back and saying, wait a minute, we've been moving along, and even in our search for fulfillment, which again, that's a whole other conversation, but you know, that contentment, you talked about generosity, and I was thinking, you know, the Bible so often just says, don't compare yourself to your neighbor. Like, don't do it, because it's going to lead to discontentment. And then that's going to lead to striving. And that's going to lead to
all kinds of
negative, which aren't. And what the writer in Ecclesiastes is saying is listen, through all these seasons, let's again think about gratitude. Let's think about a contentedness, not comparing us to the neighbor, but actually going to the neighbor and saying, hey, you know what? Let's work together. Let's pool together. I am experiencing this, and maybe assume that they're in a me session as well, because mm-hmm. I think we can mm-hmm. and say, you know what? Let's do this together, and let's work at this together. And, you know,
because one of the things Amanda mentioned is that, community and contribution is a part of our resilience training, mm-hmm. and that when we're in community and we don't isolate, you know, there's more hope. We're not going to fall into, maybe the sadness and the negativity, that we can push back, you know, and that sadness is, we're going to feel it. We're going to feel the stress. We are, and it's good to acknowledge it. But if we're in community and with our neighbor, you know, then we're experiencing it together and we're thinking, oh man, there is some things that I'm enjoying right now because I'm with my neighbor or with my community, or we're doing things different and the change is good. And And it's just, you know, it's a mindset shift. So often it's about our mindsets, and it's so important.
And you know, a couple of things just, you know, while we're talking about this, right, is that often in crisis, perspective changes. And then, you know, again, I don't know how many times we've seen that in our own lives, and we hear the stories of, and I go all the way back to the ice storm, like, one of the biggest things, even, you know, that was, what, 88, I think? That,
no,
the
ice, no, 98.
That the ice storm happened. And one of the things that I still get when I bring that up, and we're talking about it every once in a while, is how the community came together and how everybody just shared what they had, and everybody was just kind of working towards getting power to the places that needed power. And if they didn't have it, you know, all of that, you know, we do as humans, you know, in terms of crisis going, and I'm going to encourage you as we come to the end of the show, just to say, you know, we don't have to wait for crisis to be able to say, you know what, I'm actually going to look around and see how can I help? What can I do? Maybe there are some people around us that are in crisis. Well, okay, great. But we don't have to wait until we're in crisis to be able to start working in community, to be able to start looking and saying, I'm not looking at my neighbor to compare or compete against it. I'm actually looking at my neighbor to say, okay, let's do that project together. And what can we do to support each other? And not wait for the crisis.
I just want to encourage myself not to focus on what is not, but on what is. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we can talk a lot about inflation and interest rates, and there's a lot of conversation about money these days. But maybe the next time someone says, oh man, it's so hard, just listen. Mm-hmm. Listen to them about why it's hard, and encourage gratitude even in the midst. They might not like it. They might not say, well, like, yeah, we do have some money. The provision is there. You've said that to me before this year. You know what? We have provision from heaven, from the Lord. And how are we managing that provision? And that's a part of the change and the question that we can ask when it does feel hard. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this discussion. I thank you for all the economists out there who are helping us get context for what's happening in our world today, Lord. And we thank you most that you're holding it all in your hand, and that we can see this is a season, and you are with us in it. In Jesus' name.
Awesome. Well, thanks for letting me off the hook around the word stuff. Thank you.
Yes,
Financial Discipleship Canada for partnering with us and being, in a sense, in community with us and supporting us here on the show. And check out their website at notmine.ca. Really some great resources there, some great forum for discussion around the biblical use of money and all of that. And of course, join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.